All right. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's pray. Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd be with us now and just bless us, Lord. Please clear my mind, clear my heart, and Lord, help me be concentrated on the Word of God. And Lord, I just pray, Father, that your children would be, Lord, other distractions that may be there, Lord, that they would disappear, and that, Lord, we would concentrate on you. Forgive us, Lord, for our failures. Forgive me for that, Lord. I pray that you'd cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Help us, Lord, now I pray. Give a sweet understanding and spirit, Lord, from you, from above. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, the Bible says here, in our series here, what we've covered is divine commands for marriage. We've covered this verse, and we've talked about this verse just a little bit, well, a lot actually, when we looked at the commands to dwell with them according to knowledge, and giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. We did cover those things and look at those things, but we did not really talk a lot about this last part of the verse, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, about a year or two ago, I preached a series on prayers being hindered. Do you remember that? And I preached probably, what was it, about 20 messages on prayer, I think it was. It was a long time. It was probably about 6 months almost, wasn't it? Of Sundays and on prayer, directly on prayer, and Sunday nights, I think it was. And one of those prayer hindrances, I think we were 10 weeks on prayer hindrances maybe, so it's probably about 30 messages on prayer. I'm not sure. It was a whole lot, though. And we discussed that your prayers can be hindered by a husband and wife's relationship in that sermon. So I'm not going to really go over that. I'll touch a little bit on that tonight. But really what I want you to concentrate on is this third part of the verse, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Heirs together of the grace of life. First of all, number one, this verse is not preaching identical rights pertaining to God's order. Understand that. Now let's back up just a little bit and say this to you, that you understand the different commands that were given in marriage. We went over those. I'm not going to go over those again, but you can go back. You can review that on the web if you don't remember some of those sermons, or I'm sure you probably do. You probably can't forget some of them. That's what usually bothers me. It's not the things I can't remember. It's the things I cannot forget. Amen? Those are the things that bother me. But the things that matter are the things I cannot forget that God always brings up to me. But understand this as being heirs together. But this verse, first of all, is not preaching identical rights pertaining to God's order. If this verse preached that, then it would contradict all that the Lord laid down from Eden through Christ and through the apostles themselves. The order, he's not changing the order with this verse. He is explaining this as you ought to do all of these things as being heirs together of the grace of life. The divine sentence, again, we'll review a little bit. The divine sentence was given to woman in Eden after the fall of man. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 13, and the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. The Apostle Paul continues the order of subjection and states the reasons why in 1 Timothy. Always goes back to the first rule, that rule of principle, the first principle. The first time something is talked about is usually the interpretation of it never changes through Scripture. Amen? And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that thou hast done? In 1 Timothy 2:12, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. So we see that the Lord did not change the order of things. Wife, would you understand that God gave you a husband to lead you through this life? Do you understand that God gave you a husband for that purpose? Amen. He gave that husband to be a leader over you. Now, I know what's preached today, that common message is preached today of equality, or identical rights, not equality, but an identity crisis there is today in marriages, because some don't know who leads and some don't know who's supposed to follow. I've met a lot of men that don't lead and they're very weak. Their marriages are very weak. I've also met a lot of women that tried to lead, that usurped authority, and men tried to, and it just didn't work out. It just messed the whole thing up. Do you remember? You might say this to yourself. My husband makes mistakes and he messed up in the past. Well, that's every man in this room. Every man in this room has made mistakes and messed up in the past. Amen? Every man. Do you remember Eve's sin? Dear lady, are you falling prey to the same one? Think about it. Are you falling prey tonight to that same sin of rebellion and deciding to get out of God's design and God's divine order? How are you to be joint heirs with Christ and joint heirs with your husband of the grace of this life or any leadership that is over you if you do not acknowledge the leadership that God has placed in front of you? You know, that goes for any type of leadership, really. It goes for the pastor to the people as well. When a church does not follow the leadership of its pastor and members don't follow the leadership of their pastor, how long do you think that house is going to last if it's divided against itself? Amen? You know what happened to Eve? She was leaning on her own understanding. In all her ways, she was acknowledging herself. And she would direct her paths. Kind of like what all of us do when we want to go our own way. We lean on our own understanding. In all our ways, we acknowledge us. And we will lead our paths.
Well, I know the Bible better than my husband, so
I'll take it. I'll do it my way because I know the Bible better than my husband. I know it better than my father. I know it better than my parents. I know that's just nothing but rebellion is all that is. It's rebellion to God's order. Amen. Very common too, by the way. Happens a lot. You know, sin is no respecter of persons either. It hits all of us. I wish that you and I would understand that none of us are immune to sin. Listen, when we preach repentance, we don't preach a sinless perfection. We don't believe somebody's sinless when they get saved. We just believe that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What becomes new? Everything. I look at everything different. That doesn't mean I don't sin. That doesn't mean I don't do things I shouldn't do. What it means is that there's a difference now when I do. Because I see it with new eyes and a new heart. Let me ask you a question. Do you have an inward rebellion because you don't wish to follow His leading? But you have a more excellent way that you could show your husband? Wasn't that what Eve did and brought all of creation to its knees in horror? She did the same thing. Did she not? Have some faith in God. Would you have some faith in God that God is leading your husband as He leads you? Children need to have faith in God too, that their fathers and their mothers are being led by God and they're trying to do what's right. No matter if you like it or not. It's not all gravy. It gets difficult sometimes. But God still expects you to obey the order that He set down. He didn't change it with this verse as being joint heirs of the grace of life. So understand, we're establishing here that God's not using Peter to change the divine order of the sexes. Then what is Peter talking about as heirs of the grace of life? What does he mean by that? Well, number one, he is saying that she deserves honor and respect as an heir and grace for this life. Your wife deserves honor and respect as a joint heir of the grace of life. He is dealing with this life first. She deserves your honor and respect because she is a child of the King, a joint heir with Christ. In Romans chapter 8, verse 17, the Bible says that if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. She has the same Holy Ghost that you and I have. She has the same access whereby she cries, Abba, Father. She can boldly come before the throne of God and beg for mercy. She can get the same, she gets the same fruit of the Spirit as you do. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Husband, she gets the same as you do in this life when it comes to eternal things. Same thing. She has access to the power of God. She can cry out to God and He will hear her cries and answer her prayer. But with that comes an equal responsibility. Lady, understand with that becomes an equal responsibility to pray without ceasing. It just so happens that as the weaker vessel, God has placed a husband over you to see that you do just that. You get a little shaky sometimes. A little over-emotional sometimes. A little hysterical sometimes. A little crazy sometimes. Okay, just a little downright nuts sometimes. It happens. Not to say that we don't, but... Hey, Beth? I don't get any of those things. I just get mad sometimes. My sin's better than yours, I just get really angry. You get really hysterical and nutty as a lady, but I get angry and mad, so mine's better, right? No, it's not. It's the same thing. Amen? Same thing. You just get emotional, because that's the way God made you. It's just you can't give over to those emotions. Amen? But we all have our own sins that we battle. Amen? All of us. None of us are immune to any of them. Amen? Just as guilty... one another, we're just as guilty. But she has that same access. But let me ask you a question, lady. Are you praying without ceasing? Where are the female prayer warriors that were not worried about being equal in order to men, but prayed down fire from heaven for their men? Where are those women at? There is so much of a time today of women that what they want to do is preach equality to men, and they want to be exactly like men. But it used to be that we had ladies that would weep and howl and beg God for answers to prayer. And men like Spurgeon and other men like that would see the power of God rain down on their ministry. Why? Because that lady was praying. As a joint heir, she wasn't the preacher, but she was the prayer warrior. Ask you a question. Ma'am, have you ever prayed for your husband as much as you complain about him? As much as you fuss at him and don't want to follow him? You ever pray for him? Instead of complaining about him, you ever pray for him and ask God to change him? Because guess what? You're not going to change him. So who's going to change him? It would be God that would change him. But I guess you want to get out of that order and you want to change him. So you'll spout off and you'll act disrespectful. You'll act out of the place that you should. Why? So you can change him because you're tired of the way he's doing things. Well, why don't you go to God with it then? Otherwise, all it is a bunch of flesh. It's not spiritual. Are you feigning yourself to be spiritual while you rebel against God? And you stand in audacity and look to heaven and say, I'm being biblical, I'm being godly, when I'm in disobedience and rebellion to my own husband? The neighbors are going to hear me. I'm going to be preaching from my house pretty soon. Oh well, we'll save $650. You ought to be praying for the men of this church. Your husband first, obviously. You ought to be praying for men. You know, men are the leadership that God has placed over you. The pastor is the under-shepherd of the church. He's the ruler of the body there. And by the way, that's what it says, whether you like it or not. I'm not some king that runs around here acting like a king. I don't expect anything from anybody but to obey the Bible. I never ask for anything above what I should receive. But let me say, and I don't demand respect from people either. Believe me. But I will say this. Ladies, how often do you pray for the men of this church? How often do you pray for your husband? How often do you pray for the pastor? How often? As often as you've criticized him? Well, I hope my wife sure has. I sure hope she prays for me. What, criticize me? Yeah, I know you do that, honey. I'm just saying, I hope she prays for me. I know she does. I'm just kidding. And I believe you do too. I'm not saying that you're not. But are you praying without ceasing? God help you ladies to love your husbands enough to lift their names up to God and weep and howl and cry out to God for them. As joint heirs, you have access and just as much responsibility as they do to pray. Amen? Now you may not pray in the public assembly, but if it was true heartfelt prayer, it'd be done in private. Now wouldn't it? If your love was strong, then you would pray in private, not wanting to be seen of men. Amen? How about, let me ask you a question. Do you pray for me? I hope that you do. I hope that you pray for me. I need it. I probably need it more than you do. I lift your name up every day in prayer. Your family, your children. I pray for them every day. I pray for their souls to be saved. I pray for them to walk in the Lord. I pray for your families. Each one of you. Every day. And you know what? If you think there's something wrong with me, you should pray for me more. If you think there's something wrong with me in my life, you should pray for me more. That's what I would do for you. It's what I do for you. When you have extra problems going on in your life and challenges that you're facing in your life, you know I don't criticize you to people. I just pray for you. I don't look down on you because you have problems in your life. Believe me, I don't think any differently of you because you have different areas of your life that you're battling. I don't consider you a second-class Christian because you battle the things of this flesh just like I do. Not a bit. I pray for you the more. As a joint heir lady, you have a responsibility to pray for the men, pray for your husband first of all, and pray for the other men. Pray for this church. You might be upset with the way your husband does something because chances are he's probably a lot like me and he could be an insensitive baboon sometimes. And I mean that literally. A big old insensitive baboon. Amen? Come on, men, you know it. Very insensitive. Very selfish. Think about your own needs above that of your wives and your children. Many times we do that. Come on, don't lie to yourself. You can keep your smug fundamentalist smile if you want to, but you and I all know we're all guilty of it. Amen? And it's okay if you smile because it was funny. But I'm just saying, we're all guilty of it. We think of ourselves before we do our wives many times. Amen? Many times. And lady, whether you realize it or not, I'm the best friend you have. One of them anyway. Because if your husband wrongs you and I know about it and he brings it to me and it becomes a situation, I will stand to his face and withstand him for what's right. I won't do it in front of you. I won't belittle your husband. But him and I in private, we'll have a talk or two. Amen? And we have. Every single man in this room. Including myself. And I've been reproved as well by men in this room. And I've taken it. Understand that. Ladies, we need your prayers as joint heirs. Hey, that sounds like a rap song, doesn't it? It's not though. But listen, men, she deserves your honor because she has that same Holy Ghost and the grace that God gave you when you were saved. She has that same salvation. She deserves that same respect from you. She deserves that same love from you. Number two, she deserves honor because she is an heir in eternity with Christ. Not only an heir to this life, for the next, but an heir of an eternity with Christ. She will be with Christ and she will not be viewed as second class in heaven. But a mansion will be for her as well as you, and she doesn't have to share it with you and her kids. It'll be all hers. No, you won't be lonely. You'll be perfected. You'll be at peace with yourself and with God, and you won't be lonely. Amen. I know on this side we feel that way. We think, well, wouldn't it be lonely to be in a big old mansion in heaven? Or wouldn't it be lonely to be that way? No. No, it won't be. Why? Because you'll be perfect like God is. And God can be there and He is God and He is fine. He is fine being God. Amen? He didn't create man because He needed man. He created man because of love. Think about that one. Had to. Otherwise, knowing He created him, knew that he was going to fall and died anyway for him. That's love. She gets the same crown of life that you get when you get to the judgment seat of Christ. She can get a soul winner's crown. She'll be among the redeemed in heaven. Praise the Lord, she will no longer be under the divine judgment, but Christ will perfect her as He will us, and we will be free from that judgment as well. The curse will be lifted and we will be free. 1 John 3:2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We'll be like Him. We'll be like Jesus. Amen? Number three, recognizing her as a joint heir is crucial that your prayers be not hindered. Oops, I skipped some here. Understand this, you will no longer be in subjection to an earthly husband. As she was, she will be perfect once more like before the fall. Now she was in subjection to her husband, won't be. We'll all be in subjection to Christ. All rule and reign with Christ. No longer will it be thrown up into her face, the sin of Eve. But she'll be redeemed. Amen? No longer subject to the flesh. Won't that be a day? This flesh, this wicked flesh, how wicked it is, the wicked thoughts that come into a man's heart, that come into a lady's heart, the wicked thoughts we conjure up. Amen? We all have them, don't we? Just horrible thoughts. The woman will be perfect once more, just like her Lord, perfected. Can you imagine that? No longer under the stress of this life, no longer under the weakness of flesh, no longer driven by emotions. It's hard to think about, isn't it? Amen? No longer married to a husband in heaven. Till death do you part. Perfection is made. You have need of nothing. You see why it's so important to do it right while you're here? This is the only shot you have at it. This is it. Why waste your marriage with garbage? Why waste it with fighting against God? Why waste it with fighting against God's order? Why waste it with fighting with each other? Why waste ruining what you have here because this is the only chance you have at it? You will never have a husband in heaven. You'll never have a wife in heaven. This is it. This is your chance with children to have children and to raise them for the Lord. This is your chance to be a godly wife. This is your chance to be a godly husband as joint heirs, as heirs of the grace of life. That's it, folks. This is it. This is the only chance you get. Why ruin it now? Why let pride get in the way of it and ruin it now? You understand how pride ruins it? The wife has her set motives. The husband has his set motives. Not working on the same page together. The husband acts outside of the wife and just does pretty much what he wants to do and doesn't even dwell with her in unity. Just basically tells her what to do all the time but doesn't really include her. I'm just curious, husband, do you ever ask your wife, well, what do you want to do? Or do you just always tell her what you're going to do all the time? You know, it's not a sin to ask your wife what she would like to do once in a while. You do realize that, right? You realize there's no sin. There's nothing in the Bible that says thou shalt not ask your wife if she would like to do something, give her a choice in the matter. That's not in there. You could ask her and you could just go ahead and do it if she likes it. It's something she'd like to do for once. I may hate to break it to you, but there's some ladies that don't want to do a bunch of manly things. Well, and I don't just call them manly things, but they don't want to do a bunch of rugged outdoor things. You know, that's okay. There's some that do, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with either side. Amen? But if she doesn't want to do it, shouldn't you do something she wants? You know there's no sin in that. It's called being considerate. There's nothing wrong with that, honestly. It really is okay to be considerate of somebody you love. It really isn't a sin. Amen? It really isn't a sin to go ahead and lay down what you want to do and do something that somebody else wants to. It's called sacrifice, and it's a good thing to teach. You might want to learn the lesson first by practicing it. Has Christ gave himself for the church? Ouch. I won't rehash that one, though. We've already talked about that. You don't need a reminder of that, right? You've got that sacrificing thing down, right, husband? You don't need a reminder of that, right? Just want to put you in a good mood before you go home tonight. Amen? Remember, she's the weaker vessel. But she's also a joint heir with Christ. In the same grace that you were saved from, she's been saved from. When you look at her, you shouldn't look at her as somebody that's second class. You look at her as somebody that you're in leadership over, yes, but as a joint heir, as an heir of the grace of life. Do you realize that you, husband, let me ask you, do you realize that you're preparing her for eternity? Could you stop there and think for a second? Now stop 1 second and think about this. Well, maybe a little bit longer. Think about this. What am I doing to prepare her for eternity? You might do a whole lot to prepare her for the temporal needs that she may have on this earth when you're gone. And that's a wonderful thing. We all should do that. But what about for eternity? Are you preparing her for eternity? It's your job. You're the head. How come we always like to be the head when we can tell people what to do, but we don't like to be the head when the responsibility comes in? It's like people like to have children, I think, sometimes just so they can tell them what to do. But they don't teach them and train them. Well, that's the responsibility part. I don't want that. It's like telling them what to do. I wonder if sometimes you want a wife just to fulfill some needs that you have, but not to teach her and train her and help her. Man, it's getting quiet in here. I must have hit home on that one. Lord must be speaking to somebody. Amen? I think it's me. Amen? These are hard things to receive, aren't they, sometimes? But as a pastor, isn't he supposed to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry? You know, I've had some people say, well, that's prying when you say things like that. Well, pry away. I've heard them say, oh, that's prying. Oh, really? Okay. Then Paul was prying. He got pretty technical with those Corinthians, didn't he? He also got pretty technical with the order that God laid down, and he reestablished that order in Ephesians. And he made sure you understood how you were to treat your husband, how the wife was supposed to treat her husband and wife, and how the vice versa, and how the children were supposed to be raised. He got pretty technical with that, didn't he? Why? Because it matters, folks. It matters how you treat one another. It matters. Whether you think it or not, you have no idea. Look over at your wife just for 1 second, if you would. Just look right over at her, and I want you to think of one thing. Oh, good, they smiled. That's nice. All right, good. Everybody's smiling. Oh, isn't that cute? They're all smiling. All right, anyway. Sorry, honey. I'm up here, but I see you. Listen, let me say this to you. As you look at your wife, understand this one thing. You have no idea what's going on inside that mind. Did you hear me? No, listen to me. I know it's funny, but I'm being awful serious. Please listen. I know it's funny. And I'm not saying that in a belittling way. I'm telling you that when you look at your wife, you have no idea what's going on in her mind. You have no idea of the thoughts that are in her heart. And you have no idea the hurt that she is holding in her heart. What she has been through that she has not really explained to you. What some things that you have said to her that has hurt her. You have no idea what she's holding on to. Sometimes where she has felt completely slighted and betrayed by you. You have no idea. You have no idea. And I'll tell you one thing. You're scared to think about it. So am I. Amen? It's very difficult for a man to face himself sometimes and face the mistakes that he's made. But I'm going to tell you something between husbands and wives. you better get some things right with each other. And you better quit harboring bad feelings for each other. And when mistakes are made, you need to forgive those mistakes. And you just stop holding on to past sins that you've been through and past mistakes that your husband's made and your wife has made. You need to let those things go. Because you're holding on to a lot of bitterness, and that bitterness turns to anger, and that anger turns to malice, and that malice turns into hate. What do you want to bring up something that somebody did years ago? What do you want to bring that up for? I'll tell you something else. You have no idea what kind of hurt your wife's holding in from before you ever met her. No idea. The pain that's there. The hurt that's there. Why? Because she's not told you. She needs to. She needs to. As hard as it is, brutal honesty. It's hard, isn't it? It's very hard to take, isn't it? It's hard, isn't it? Brutal honesty. It's very uncomfortable. Puts you in a very vulnerable place. You're very vulnerable when you're brutally honest with the one that you love. And you look at them and you tell them the truth. It's hard, isn't it? Do you do it? Do you? Are you brutally honest? Remember, you're joint heirs. Heirs of the grace of this life. You ever open up to one another and sit down and talk about things? I mean, really talk about things. I mean, the hot buttons that you don't want to talk about. Do you ever talk about those things? Why? Because, lady, you might have to lay down some rebellion if you talk about some things. Husband, you might have to admit where you failed your wife. And boy, I don't like admitting that one. But I can honestly tell you it's true. I have. And she's a good woman to put up with me. To love me. Besides that. Yeah? But it'll break your heart when you think about your failures. And it should break your heart. Wife, it should break your heart when you think about some feelings that you're harboring up inside. Let me ask you a question. You can call it prying if you want to. I don't care. I get called everything. I'm about over that whole thing. I've been called everything under the sun. Gotta get used to it now. Wife, are you afraid if you tell your husband the truth, he won't... Are you afraid if you tell your husband the truth, he won't listen to you anyway? That if you tell him the truth about things, he won't listen to you? If you try to explain it to him, he won't listen? He just can't understand it? He just won't understand it if I try to explain it to him. First of all, is it biblical what you're trying to explain to him? Is it right? Can you find it in the Bible? Is it accurate? I don't mean pick up a Bible and preach to him. I mean, is it accurate? Is it biblically accurate? As joint heirs, you ought to be able to do that. You ought to be able to share things with one another, look at each other and say, listen, I respect you, I love you, I honor you. And you ought to be able to tell your wife anything you need to. Now, I don't mean when you have bad thoughts in your head, man. You don't go tell your wife about bad thoughts you've had. You confess those things to God and get them right with God. Lady, you do the same thing. You don't tell somebody, the only person you tell God those deep down dirty thoughts you've had or wrong thoughts you've had in your heart is God Almighty. And you get them right with Him. You don't go sharing every bad thought you ever had with people. I don't want my wife to hear me when I'm in my prayer closet. I don't want her to hear me. I don't want her to hear me when I'm confessing the sins to God. Why? It's between me and God. Now, if I've done something outwardly, I need to, you know, get that right. Now, if I've had bad thoughts or mean thoughts or upset or bitterness, usually that's women that have that towards the man because it's something the man has done. Then that needs to be taken care of. I need to talk about that. You need to talk about these things. Why? Because, see, I'd rather we talk about it on this side, or would you rather be like the family that I'm seeing split apart right now that wouldn't talk about any of those things when I spent 3 years trying to get them to talk about it, and they wouldn't talk about any of it, and get it and be open about it, so then now it's in divorce court. Ends up in drug abuse and divorce court. So how about we talk about it? How about you talk about it on this side and get everything right on this side so we don't ever have to look at that side? And men, you and I are going to have to just grow up and grin and bear it. And when it's truth, we need to respond to it. Does that make sense? And wife, you need to be honest with your husband and tell him. Amen? You be honest with your husband and tell him. If you're hurting, you need to tell him you're hurting. You need to tell him why you're hurting. Don't harbor it. Don't hide it. And man, you have no right to get angry with her when she comes to you with an open heart and explains things to you. Now, if she's wrong biblically, then you show her where she's wrong and put her in her place. With love, of course. But show her biblically where she's wrong. If she's right, well, then you have to decide if you're going to stand on the side of truth or error. But don't push truth on her if you're not willing to accept it. Because you look like a hypocrite. Does that make sense? I don't like to see, you know, and I'm not saying I do, but I hate to see tension. I mean, every marriage has it. Believe me, everyone. So if you think I'm talking about you, I am, but I'm talking about me too. I am talking about you, but I'm talking about me too. I'm talking about all of us. Except Jessica, because she's not married. Yet, anyway. That'll happen. Recognizing her as a joint heir is crucial that your prayers be not hindered. Listen, you can be a leader and still be respectful. God has really dealt with me since I started this series about 2 or 3 months ago, and I have been noticing things and trying to do more to be more of a blessing to my wife and to help her more, because I see where she kind of, I feel like sometimes she just gets dumped with the whole thing. You know what I mean? I really do. I try to do more. You know, I do, because I know it happens, and God's made me sensitive to some of those things. Like, I've got to get this. I've got to help her. You know, and you and I as husbands need to be mindful of that. Amen? We really do. And we mess up in that area a lot. One of the most terrible results of ignoring God's divine commands for marriage is that our prayers are being hindered. Do you understand that right now, lady and husband, that your prayers are being hindered? Do you understand that? When you're out of line with God, when you're out of line with each other, your prayers are being hindered. When you, lady, decide not to obey and follow your husband in heart as well as by action, you better understand that God sees your heart. You can fool the preacher, you can fool your husband, you can fool everybody around you. But you will not fool God. He sees your heart and He sees your disobedience and He knows it's there. Amen? He knows it's there. You understand that just because outwardly you follow your husband does not mean inwardly you've submitted to him? You can be holding back, wife, and God knows it, and you think your prayers are going to be answered? I mean, I hate to say this this way, but do you really think God is stupid? Do you think He's ignorant? Do you not remember that He's God and that He sees the heart? Are you praying to Him like He does not see your heart? And with audacity, like you actually believe that He is listening to your prayers when you're in open rebellion to Him? He sees your heart. Husband, the same thing goes with you. He sees your heart. Why are we so vain in thinking that God is just like us, a man? That He will be fooled by us. We didn't invent God and mold Him into this bottle, folks. God made you. You didn't make Him. You better understand that God sees your heart. Now, I'll give you an example of this. My wife tells a story of a few years back that she wanted to be a missionary to the deaf. I remember when we were down in Iowa, and I remember that she, at a young age, believed that she was called to be a missionary to the deaf. Now, when I first heard that, I said, "Oh!" And even as a young, I thought, "Oh, really?" Because I mean, I'm a practical guy. When I look at the Bible, I take it very practically. It says it. That's what it means. So I always looked around to see if I could find some woman that was called. I'm still looking. But anyway, as I looked at that, just because someone has a burden does not mean they're called. You understand that? There's a lot of men that went to Bible school and didn't go to Bible school and got ordained as pastors, and they had a burden, but not called. When you're called, all the forces of hell will not stop you from doing the will of God. You understand me? Whatever it is, by the grace of God, I fought and I battled and I served God to get here. But it was by the grace of a God that called me. And you know what? There wasn't one earthly person that could stop it. And boy, did they ever try. Why do you want to go to Northfield? They're a bunch of educated people down there. Are you saying I'm stupid? It's okay. I understand. Because I like arguing with doctors, that's why I'm going, okay? I like arguing with people with doctorates. It's fun. Anyway, no, I didn't say that. But I said, "Oh, okay, I don't know." Because the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisest man, amen. Anyway. Not many wise are called. Anyway, my wife tells a story of when she was young down there, and she's told this story before, not obviously here, but in private and to different people. But I remember when we were down in Iowa, and the pastor was there, and she felt like she was called to work with the I think is the Cotvosses, is that what in have you heard of them? They're missionaries to the deaf in Peru. Peru, yeah. Anyway, so she believed in her heart that God had called her to do that. She learned sign language really fast. Matter of fact, I started going there and I had learned it in, what, 4 or 5 months? And I was interpreting along with her and everything else. And, you know, out of a lot of confusion and everything else, I thought I was called to do something like that. And just a lot of it was mixed emotions and everything like that with getting married and wanting to get married and, you know, all that stuff that goes through a man's head and everything and all the fears and questions and everything. But anyway, those things happened, and as time went on, we moved to Rosemont and got there and started running the deaf ministry there. And it was dead when we got there, and the Lord blessed, and we had a lot of people come in, about 10, 12 deaf people, I think, or something like that. You know, and good for deaf. That's awesome to go to a hearing church. I mean, it's just, but anyway, she never let go of that dream. She knew I was called to pastor. She never let go of that dream. She always had that dream. Now listen closely. She always had that dream. And she always wanted to do that. And always believed God would have her to do that. And then as time went on and God had sent us to Northfield, she held on to that through 2002, 2003, 4, 5, 6, 7, about 8 or 9, 2008 or 9, right around 2009, really, a couple years ago. I didn't know it. I have no idea. I thought she had let go of it years ago. She came and she had confessed and she had said she got alone with God and she realized that she'd been holding on to this dream and didn't really submit to her husband and his ministry that God had given him. And she wanted certain things from the ministry, and she wanted all of these things, and all of that stuff went through her heart, and she had broken dreams as a result of it. And she held on to those broken dreams. You know what? You may be here tonight too, and there may have been some dreams that you wanted, and you figured that whole princess world that you had when you were little, and how you would grow up, and how everything would work out perfect for you, and you would be with this husband that would do this perfectly, and you would have a church, or you would have this, or you would have that, you would be in the perfect church, you would have all these things, and all of these dreams were there, and you would have those, and it would go that way, and they're broken dreams. Well, she realized that she needed to let go of that, and she confessed it, and got it right with God, and let go of it, and God started giving her a personal revival in her heart, where she started to see things differently than she had seen them before. And we in this room are from all walks of life, but I just wonder, you holding on to broken dreams? Things you thought, visions you thought were going to work out the way you thought they were going to work out, and they just didn't happen to work out that way. So now God's not God anymore, and He's not on the throne anymore, and He's not in charge anymore, and He doesn't know what He's doing anymore. But you got it all figured out because you're holding on to a dream that God didn't make a reality. Let me tell you what that causes. Your prayers to be hindered. She knew that until she submitted to that ministry, she was hindering the prayers. Because she submitted to her husband, who God had put there in that ministry. Because I'm going to tell you something right now. It has not been gravy since we've been in this ministry. People are mean sometimes. Albeit, it's not really been anybody in this room. but we've had some mean ones in the past. Just downright mean. That's hard for a lady to take. Now, you know, I can take it a little bit easier because I'm the one God's called. And I'm ornery anyway, so you just throw some stuff, you sling some mud at me and I'm fine with it. Okay, fine, sling it. Whatever. I don't like it, I'm not happy about it, it hurts, but I'll get over it. I know what God's called me to do, so I'm just going to keep doing it. And I'm not going to stop loving you just because you don't like me that much right now. Amen? See, she grew up being taught that women were called to such and such. And that developed some broken dreams in her. And it even caused some tension I had no idea between us, probably. I'm sure it did. She admits it. And I just asked, by the way, for chapter and verse of that whole woman is called thing. I'd like to see the chapter and verse for that. I just would. If you can show me that systematically through the Bible where that's biblical, I'll believe you. See, not everybody can live in the New Testament. Why not? Everybody that's saved can. You can? Then what do you write it for? Come on. You either believe it or you don't, folks. She had to let go of some dreams, though. It wasn't what God wanted for her. And until she did, our prayers were hindered. Let me ask you a question. Are your prayers being hindered? Husband, are you obeying the order that God has laid down in honoring your wife and treating her like an heir of the grace of this life? Or heir of the grace of life? Wife, are you submitting to your husband in the order that God has laid down so your prayers are not hindered? And your daughters and sons are not growing up seeing rebellion to God's order? You know, I marvel how families wonder why their children grow up and want nothing to do with God, but they ignore God's divine order and their prayers are absolutely hindered because of it. You and I better take heed to this. Our churches are hindered today because our homes are all out of whack and they're in trouble. And how about we fix them before they get into a bad shape? How about you and I look at our wives and be honest with them? Amen? Wife, how about you look at your husband and be honest with him? How about you understand that you don't have the God-given right to lead? Even though you think you can do it better. And you might be able to. You might be able to do it better. Doesn't matter though. It's not what God wants. It's not God's order. Amen? But why not get some things taken care of with each other and work on each other? Why not be brutally honest with one another as joint heirs of the grace of life? This is the only shot you're getting at it. Right now. You don't need a This Is Your Life movie. Amen? But you know what? You and I both know that until we respect and honor each other like we should, our prayers are hindered. Disappointment, disgust, anger, hurtful feelings, all those things, they're real. We don't have the power of God because wives are not submitting and husbands are not honoring and children are not taught obedience. Wives are not accepting their responsibility as joint heirs of grace and praying for their husbands and children and pastor to be strong in the Lord and for protection for them. How about it, lady? Do you pray? Do you? Do you pray? I'll tell you what I like this. He's an Anglican minister, but an old Anglican minister from 150 years ago. But he wrote a book, and I have it, and you all should read it. It's called How Prayest Thou? Whew. It's by J.C. Ryle. Man, it hurts. He also has one called How Readest Thou? For the Bible. Whew. He also wrote a book named called Holiness. Whew. That one hurts too. And another one called The True Christian. Now that one really hurts. Lady, do you pray or complain? Ask yourself that. All right, heads bowed, eyes closed. We're finished. Let me ask you, are your prayers hindered?